Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death. Everybody say, freed me. For God has done what the law could not do. Its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son in the guise of a sinful flesh as an offering of sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, and deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So that the righteous and the just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, But you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship and daughtership in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a great text. Great text. I want to talk about, can we turn this mic up a little bit? I want to talk about breaking loose. Breaking loose. I've read this account of this young man down in Alabama who dived into the ocean to find exotic fish. This adventuresome young man said that one of the most popular aquariums fish is the shark. He explained that if you catch a small shark and you confine it, it will stay at the same size in proportion to the tank that it's in. So you can catch a small shark and put it in a small aquarium and it will not grow any further than 6 inches. But if you take that same shark and you put him in an ocean, he will grow 8 feet. So your environment has an impact on your development. And likewise, I read this story about this another fish, the pike, the walleye pike fish, who loves little minnows. So they put a walleye and they put a clear piece of glass in a tank so that the walleye could see the little minnow swimming around. And the walleye kept bumping his head into the glass and he couldn't get to the minnow. And then finally they removed that clear piece of glass. And the walleye just swam around the minnow and never touched the minnow. The idea is that you can bump your head up against something so long that after a while it doesn't bother you. Then I read another story about this young boy who had a goldfish, and he was going out, he was going to his grandfather's house, and his dad says, you know, you take this goldfish with you because I'm not going to be looking after your goldfish. You take it with him. So the boy went to his grandfather's house, and his grandfather had a lake up there, and he decided he's going to be a liberator. So he decided he's going to put the little goldfish in the lake. He was going to free him so he could just swim out into the lake. But the goldfish just swam around in circles. He was so imprisoned or so accustomed to being in a little goldfish bowl that he never swam out into freedom. You and I can be in this. This is not just about fish. It's about life. We can be so imprisoned by our past that we never break free. Every last one of us in here have done something that we're not proud of. Every last one of us in here have sinned and we have fallen short. But the good news of the gospel is in Romans chapter 8, therefore now there is no condemnation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that my past doesn't have control over my life. I'm glad that I can be free in Christ Jesus to become all that He would have me to be. I read this other story about this family who had a Doberman Pinscher dog. And they had this one of these electronic things in the front yard. And this dog, there were some other dogs coming down the street. And everything that was doggy about this doggy Benjamin, he just went crazy when he saw these other dogs. He would run up almost to the end of the yard, but he had this electronic thing around his neck, and it was shocking. And he was just going crazy seeing these dogs, but he knew not to go too far. But you know what? The family had turned the thing off. But he had been so accustomed to how far he could go that he did not run down the street. And life is just like that. Have you ever seen a broken person? Have you ever seen somebody that's been broken by life? They had a bad relationship. They made a bad choice. They hung out with the wrong crowd. Broken, crushed. Tried hard and hard. You know, we come to church and everybody says, oh, just pick yourself up and, you know, everything will be right. But it's not all right all the time. You've got to press your way through. It's not easy. But the good news of the gospel is this. You got to make up your mind to break loose. You cannot allow the pain of yesterday to rob you of today. You cannot allow. Because somebody hurt you 10 years ago, you're never going to fall in love again. Get over it. Break loose. She's gone on or he's gone on to somebody else. Why in the world are you moping about it? Get over it. Break loose. This text. If I could have it in my power, everybody who's coming out of prison ought to read Romans 8. Wouldn't it be a good thing, you know, if they knew that therefore now there is no condemnation. No matter what you did, no matter how long you're in jail, no matter what your parole officer says, no matter what your mama or your daddy says, therefore now there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has set you free. Free to become. Free to grow. Free to mature. Free. But how many of you know you've got to be free in your mind? You got to be free. You got to take the chains off your mind. One of the worst things that this country has done to black people, they took the chains off of our legs and our arms, but that chain's still on our mind. Little beautiful, beautiful young ladies and handsome young men talking about planning their funeral at 16, you ought to be thinking about what you're going to accomplish by the time you get 50. Take the chains off your mind. Break loose from negativity. Who you hang with is important. Pick the right crowd. And I know it's... It's not easy breaking loose today, because there's such a thing as gang violence and thugs and all kinds of stuff. You can want to break loose, and you sitting there say, Rev, you just don't know. I'm scared to break. You want me to break loose? Get your Uzi and come with me. And I realize it's not easy, but. But what I want you to know is this text says that no matter who you are and what you have done, you're not just a drug addict, you're not just a jailbird, you're not just, you know, and many of you know that I never knew my father until I was 45, almost 50 years old. You're not just a bastard son or daughter. You are God's child. Yeah. Yo, stop blaming your mom and your dad and for all they didn't do. Or stop worrying about they put you up for adoption. Might have been the best thing they could have ever done to put you up for adoption. Stop beating up on yourself. Just go on and be free in Jesus Christ's name and become all that you can be. Never, you had nothing to do with how you started, but you have everything to do with how you finish. Ain't nobody in here. Ain't nobody in here had a perfect life. If dad was there, mom was there, whoever was there, we all been through some heartache and some misery. Break loose. And know that God says, I have adopted you. No matter who your mama was, no matter how big your nose is, no matter how messed up your hair is, whatever. You somebody. You my child. You my son. You my daughter. And because you're my daughter, he says, God's will is that, you know how people say, well, how you doing? You say, well, I'm all right under the circumstances. God's will is not for you to be under the circumstances. He wants you to be on top of the circumstances. He wants you got some difficulty, but you can climb over it. If you just know that you're not controlled by the flesh, you're controlled by the spirit. There's another spirit that's working on the inside. Do I have a witness in here? Even though it doesn't look right, even though I don't have a job, even though I'm divorced, even though I'm by myself, even though I'm sick, even though I have no health insurance, the Lord will make a way. But you gotta break loose up here. It's amazing to have survived jail. Maybe you got a good judge. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, and you got out a little early. I know there ain't no jobs out here. You're looking for somebody to give you a job. You made up your mind you're not going to work for $7.25 an hour. Then doggone it, create your job. What do you mean? It's hard. I never said it'd be easy. Cut hair. Cut grass. Wash cars. Sell used furniture. That's just a few things that I was thinking about. You know, it's not easy, but your life is not over because you did time. Life is not over because somebody walked out on you. I know some of you, some of the black women, I know some people, and I said, well, you know, you are a strong black woman. And that's what they said. If you tell me that one more time, I'm going to smack you upside. I'm tired of being a strong black woman. I need a little gray space in my life, too. I need somebody to say, I ain't going to get too personal. But the point is, got to break loose from that negative thinking that your best days are behind you. Look at somebody and say, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best days are ahead of me. I'm about something because I'm a child of the King. And I'm an overcomer. And I'm more than than my circumstances. My circumstances don't look good right now. I told you I was in London. Went over to this conference. It was a great conference. But I went over there, standby. Going was great. I had no problems. Got down to the airport. We take off over here. But coming back, I didn't know it was going to be a holiday in London. The Queen, Diamond, Jubilee, whatever it is, and everybody's flying. People are flying in that like the Queen, and people flying out that don't like the Queen. Stayed in the airport all day long. And had to stay. Any of you ever heard about Yotel? Not a hotel, Yotel. That's one of them little, it's clean room. It's at the airport. It's designed for people who miss their flights and they're just tired. And you can take it for, I think you can rent it for like 4 hours, a minimum of 4 hours, £30. I was so tired, I said, give me the whole night. And it's a nice clean room with a nice color TV, but it's small. It reminded me of a prison cell. You know, how many know that, you know, one of them little small rooms, I could lay down, but I was thinking of Nelson Mandela. How in the world that he keep his mind being in a little cell for 27 years? I was about to lose mine for 8 hours. But I had to talk to myself because I recognized and I realized that this room, it was my circumstance, but it was not my destiny. It was a little inconvenience for me to sit down at the airport and see plane after plane take off, and I had to stay. When you go standby, you know, everybody else, they paid for the ticket. I'm just sitting there praying that I can get on board. But I kept focused, and I got up next morning, went down to the ticket agent. Ticket agent looked at me and said, I don't think you're going to make it today. I'm looking at all these flights are booked. It's booked. He said, now you might make it tomorrow. There's going to be about 40-something open seats on Sunday morning. I said, no, I got to be at work tomorrow. He said, well, you know, you can go on down to the gate. Because you never know what's going to happen. I didn't check my bag. I took it with me. A big old suitcase. You know, you got to take all that, all those gels and stuff out. I had to go through my suitcase and find my shaving cream. And the guy said, well, no, you got to leave this here. I said, fine, leave it there. Just let me out. But here's the point. If I had listened to the ticket agent, I would have gone back downtown and waited to see if I could have gotten on the plane today. Look at somebody say, you got to stay steadfast. You can't let anybody else decide your destiny just because you got a few stumbling blocks in the way. Everybody's got some stumbling blocks. Everybody's got to wait on something. Everybody's got to go through some difficulties sometimes. But just make your way to the gate. And when you get down there, just sit down and shut up and wait on the Lord to open a door for you. And when the Lord opens a door for you, you walk right on through. There are other people sitting around there waiting for the plane. But they say, Mr. Gregory Jackson. I say, here am I. And I stepped on board that plane, flight number 19, on the way to Newark. And we left. I left a day and a half late, but we arrived an hour early. The Lord can work it out. That's what I'm saying. The Lord, you got to break loose from negative thinking. You got to break loose from negative people. There's some people in your life you need to break loose from. Do I have a witness in here? You don't have to raise your hand, but there's somebody that you need to let go because they are holding you back, they are holding you down, and they're too negative. Have this. He says, I have adopted you. That's what the word says. I've adopted you into my family. And how many of you know that when you adopt someone into your family, you give them your name? And that means that when you get in trouble, You know, you can call on, you know, Ashawn Larkin. We didn't really officially adopt Ashawn, but we call Ashawn Larkin our son. That means when Ashawn get in trouble, he got sense enough to know to call Greg Jackson. And if he's lucky, he'll get Barbara Jackson. Because she's probably more generous than I am. But he get her that because the name means something. And when you and I get in trouble, you got to know whose name to call. Never mind calling the mayor's name. Never mind calling the pastor's name. Go right to the top. Jesus, I'm your daughter. You adopted me and your family. I'm your son. I'm an heir. And when you adopt someone into the family, they have all the rights and privileges of the other kids. And so when I check out a long, 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 long time from now, my kids understand after Barbara, they understand that they're in the will. Not for, you know, everything except what I decide to give to charity. Yeah, mind all of you in the will. I talked to you about that, and I hope we're in your will too, mind all of. But you know, but beyond that, y'all, mind all of you. You're not in the will to the tune of Michael, Monique, and Ashawn. So if you think you're getting as much as they are, you better think again. Because we have relationship. They are sons and daughters, and I owe it to them because they carry my name. And because we're in the Father's will. We carry his name. We are blood brought sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And we have a right. We are heirs to the promise of Jesus Christ. We are heirs to his promise. He says, my spirit will set you free. It's possible to be set free if you will just break loose from the chains